What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Pete Fatsy, hitting coach of the Boston Red Sox. All right, Pete, first of all, your brother, I offered your brother to come on the podcast, to actually like host a podcast, and he said he was very excited. Are you, are you okay? Because this has to pass through the Red Sox organization. Are you okay with TJ Fatsy actually being a member of the Baseball's Important family?
I'm fine with it. He's a smart kid. He pays attention. He loves the game, loves the Red Sox. So, yeah, he's got my endorsement, I guess.
All right. All right, let it be said, let it be done. I just wanted to get that on the record. All right, here's the cliche question. When you're looking at the offseason, you talk to these guys, and you obviously have momentum from last year. Who are you most excited about when it comes to seeing, when they get to spring training, of seeing sort of that jump? I know that's like a question we ask all the time, but usually there's a good answer to it.
I mean, I think we had a lot of guys make strides last year, so I think there's a lot of guys that fall into that category. For me specifically, just because he's such a game changer, I think Sidon, he's been working really hard this offseason, both physically.
Gained 10 pounds, I heard.
Gained 10 pounds. He looks great. And then swing-wise, too, focusing on a few things that we left at the end of the year. I think he's a guy, as we all know, like he can be a force when he's on. And I think we looking to take the next step consistency wise. I'm really excited to see where he's at.
What do you do? His biggest problem was just chasing, especially sliders, and they knew they're coming in, and there was an emphasis on discipline, not chasing pitches last year. And that was a point of emphasis going into last spring training. And there was signs, but then obviously sort of like we end up where we still have to work on it. So what do you do as a hitting coach? Tell me how to not chase pitches.
I think, part of it is you don't want guys to take away from their strengths, which is, he is a guy that's on looking to hit. He's aggressive. He's confident. I think for me, you try and look at the margins. If there's a specific location or pitch type that we can focus on, if there's a certain element to like their swing path, or maybe their timing. And I think with Sidon, he's really just prioritized trying to simplify his moves and trying to, in a simplistic way, just take the swing and kind of trim down in some of the areas. There may be some length, whether it's with his hands, his body. And I think that's in itself will help him see the ball a little bit better. But then it becomes you have to prioritize the training throughout the course of the year. So, we do a lot of stuff early. We do a lot of stuff in the off season to carry to spring training. But it's continuing to build off of those moments throughout the course of the year. And when you're playing 162 games, I mean, he plays on the field all the time. It's just maximizing the opportunities that we get, especially like underneath in the cage where we can actually dig in and work on stuff. So that's kind of the progress throughout the whole year.
So when you talk about the progress throughout the year, one of the things that when Alex Cora was just on the podcast, and don't pretend like you didn't hear it, but it was one of the things that we said, okay, well, what is the difference? How do you take that next step? And one of the things he's like, listen, we finished great in a lot of offensive categories, but there were gaps.
Huge gaps.
Right? Huge gaps. So I'm sure you guys have talked about it. So talk to me about how to fill those gaps.
Yeah, I think for me, the big one is obviously the strikeouts are the most documented thing. And I think the swing and miss in general, when you have elevated swing and miss, you become easier to game plan for. That's the most valuable thing on the pitching side. They're gaming for swing and miss. So if you're swinging and missing, that's not a good thing. I think some of it's situational, understanding the pitcher, understanding your strengths. And I think it becomes about being really intentional too. Part of the growth that I'm excited for is seeing guys that had success towards the end of the year. We obviously struggled. We struggled specifically against four-seamers, fastballs, a lot more whiff than we would have liked towards the end of the year. But the trick now is how you recover from that when coming in. You had kind of a taste of both worlds in a sense of having a lot of success but not finishing the way we wanted. So I think it's more about being intentional with the work. But also it's just, I think it's part of just like the evolution of players. You go through a year, you're going to learn some things, you're going to experience some things, and then you need to apply because the game moves quick.
Because you had like, let's be honest, you're young players. The position players was like a young group. I think you only had, the only two guys were maybe over 30, correct me if I'm wrong, but Trevor Story, I think, and Ref Snyder, right?
Sure, we had a young group.
Yeah, so there's an element of...
It takes time.
Yeah, it
takes
time.
The reality is, I think we all want, we want to win every single night. That is explicit, but I think the reality is players are going to come to their own through experiences. The best way to develop is to play, and the more exposure our guys get, the better they're going to be.
Here's a wonky question. We might lead the league in conversations about the traject machine on this podcast, but one of the things is that the traject machine, I think I told you this, and maybe I was wrong, that they were able to use it during games last year, right?
Yeah, so you can, I mean, it has its own designated iPad. It's on like a closed loop, so obviously there's no internet.
Was that, I don't want to say, because obviously some pitchers didn't like it, but was that for you, was that a helpful thing for hitters?
I think for us, the more, we would get more use or benefit out of it pregame. I think during the game it can be challenging because the setup and how quickly things happen. We use the machine a lot down there to kind of replicate, but I think we probably used, the best use cases for us were in preparation of a game, or like, let's say, guy coming off the bench, we think there's a certain left-handed matchup Rob's gonna see, getting maybe to see, Tim Hill's fastball, just the shape, the release. And then also too, as you go throughout the year, you have a lot of guys that have already faced a lot. You've seen the matchups, you've seen the guys. So I think sometimes there's already a level of built-in comfortability. They just want to kind of get loose and go. So it's definitely something I think we could use more in game, but we prioritized it.
It's amazing. It's amazing that some teams didn't have them. And I found out this from Derek Falvey. Yeah. He said that they actually couldn't order them. They couldn't make them fast.
Well, that's the thing is, there's so much minutia to the thing. It's an unbelievable machine.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that they have a process for mass producing these things. There's just too many small parts and things that come together. They're also extremely expensive for a reason too.
Yeah. So along the lines of evolution and machines and all that stuff, your organization has the entire Driveline organization, seemingly. I kid, but
yeah,
kind of did.
Sure.
How has that impacted thing? Because you have a lot of people with ideas that come from there. You have ideas. You're a very open-minded person. Congratulations. But it's still, how has the Driveline influence impacted you guys?
Yeah, I think Jason and I, obviously, our director of hitting, have a great relationship. He oversees all, obviously, minor league player development. But we're constantly kind of trying to figure out the best ways, best practices to do things. I think the beauty of this game is there's so many people that...
sorry, Bobby, we're going to start moving you guys in a minute.
Okay. There's so many people that come into the game with great thoughts. I think one thing that Jason and his group has really done is kind of try and create the most objective processes possible to determine if things are working or not. And I think that's, for me, that's always helpful because we all think we have the right answer, or there's things that we value, but how can we continue to make sure that those things are objectively showing up in the game? Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say is, on a nightly basis, I've said this before, the most important thing is runs. So converting runs is the most important. Executing against the guy on the mound and knowing what he has and being able to attack his weaknesses and some instances his strength, that stuff is never goes out of style. How we get to that point, I think that's part of the evolution. And obviously they've had some great case studies with what Roman's done and his development, and Christian Campbell coming on the scene. So it's been a really good
symbiotic nature.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we're constantly learning from each other. We held a hitting summit. Craig and the group put together a hitting summit in early November, just for us to kind of put all our ideas out there, get on the same page of sorts, kind of talk about the differences amongst the levels. And I thought it was a really great opportunity for us to have dialogue. What do we think you know, where can we, where are we now? What can we improve on? What do we need? So it was a really good process.
Cora said that he'll get a baseball's and boring tattoo if he wins the World Series. He said it.
If the Jefe gets it, I'll get it.
Ooh. Let it be said, let it be done. All right.
If he runs 7 miles, I run 7 miles. That's how this thing works.
All right. Well, but, you know, the biggest part of this, will the wife approve?
I think so. Yeah. To be determined. She'll be here in a minute.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right, Brent.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.